Good to see you here this morning. You got a perfect record for 2013 being at church. That resolution you made to do more for the Lord, then you're on a good start there. See, now don't blow it next week. We'll be here next week, same time. So you come back and be with us. If you would turn your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Let's go to God in prayer before we begin. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have to be here to worship together today. We thank you, Father, for this new year that you've given us. And Father, that we can start out anew. We know that we all fell sometime during last year. We probably all messed up at some time or the other. But Lord, we get a new year. We get a new day. We know that you're a God of beginning again. And we just thank you so much for that. We just ask now that you be with us during this time as we study your word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about what the devil doesn't want you to know. As we begin a new year, now it'd be very important for us to know that. You know, we know that we serve a mighty God, don't we? We sing that song, "What a Mighty God We Serve." And we do. What a magnificent God. We serve a God who's filled with power, a God who's filled with authority. And we like for serving a God that has this power and this authority. And you would think, would this God ever give any of that authority to us? Well, our first answer probably would be no, because it's hard for us to compare ourselves to God. But actually, he did give a certain amount of authority to the believers. And that's what we've got here in Luke chapter 10. We find in this a story where Jesus gave some authority to some people. And it's the very same authority that he gives to every one of us. He gives us this authority. Now, what is this authority over? Well, look down there, if you would, at Luke chapter 10 and look at verse 1. And he says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and he sent them two and two before his face unto every city and place wherein he himself would come." All right, then drop down to verse 17. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the heaven." Now, we know that Jesus saw Satan when he was cast out of heaven in the beginning, but it seems to indicate here, he's talking, I saw Satan's power fall here. Verse 19, he says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven." Now that sounds kind of odd, but what Jesus is saying here simply is, you rejoice because your name's written in heaven, and because your name's written in heaven that you are a believer is why you have this authority. So that's what he's trying to get over to this 70. So what we find in this, a picture here of these 70s. Jesus delegates authority. These 70 come back. They are rejoicing. They said, you know, Lord, we had power over devils even. We had power over evil spirits. We had power over the serpent himself. We had power over Satan. And Jesus explains to them there in that 19th verse how that power was given. "Behold, I give to you the power," he said, "to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Who is our enemy today? Satan. Who are these evil spirits? Satan's demons. Now, we don't know how many demons Satan's got. We know that at one point when he was cast out of heaven, a third of the angels were cast out with him. We don't know how many angels there are. God, somewhere in the creation, right in the very beginning, created all of the angels that would ever be created, and the angels were there. A third of them chose to go with Satan rather than stay with God, and so they were cast out of heaven. So these are the evil spirits that he is talking about, the demons here. That serpent, he said, "And I give you authority over serpents," he says. Who's he talking about? Satan. Do you ever wonder why he would say to them, "I give you authority to go out here and walk on snakes"? That seems kind of odd, doesn't it? They're not going to be out here walking on snakes. They're not going to be out here walking on scorpions. But they're going to be out here confronted with Satan, who is the serpent. And they're going to be out here confronted with all of his little imps and all of his little demons. You see, actually there, I read it to you in the King James, there are two words there that are translated power. In the very first one, it actually should read this way: "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." The other power is the word power. So he says, I give you authority over these powers. And you say, well, aren't they the very same thing? Isn't authority and power the same thing? Well, let me explain it to you this way, and I'm sure after all the bowl games and all the football we've seen, we can understand this. You got a guy on the football field, 250 pounds, 6'5". He's a linebacker. He's mean, he's tough, he is solid as he can be. That's power. And then all of a sudden, you see right in his face a guy about 5'10", weighing 160 pounds, with a black and white striped shirt, a white hat, and a yellow handkerchief in his pocket. That is authority. Because you see, that guy then has the authority over the power of the linebacker. He throws that yellow handkerchief out, and all these big guys stop. All 22 of them just stop what they're doing. A penalty is going to be called. He has the authority to go on, and he has the authority to send that guy with all the power, who's twice as big as him, who could squash him with his thumb. He has the power to send him to the locker room and tell him he can't play anymore. You see, that's the difference between authority and power. Over in Matthew chapter 8, we have the centurion coming to Jesus. And as he comes to Jesus, he said, you know, Jesus, I understand your authority, because I too have authority. I tell a person to go and they go. I tell a person to come and they come. I have this authority, he said. What he was saying to Jesus is, I understand you have authority because your authority comes from the Father who's there in heaven. God gave the authority to Jesus. He says, I understand this because I have authority. Now, we have this centurion. He had authority because of Caesar, because of the Roman government. They gave him authority. Back before I retired, I had one of these badges and credentials and all that said, Robert Pierce, I hereby commission Robert Pierce, Assistant Director, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, to enforce the laws of Tennessee. That's dangerous, isn't it? Get in my hand. But to enforce this, why could I do that? Because it was signed over here by a man named Arzo Carson. Well, how could he do that? Because the governor signed something that gave the power to him. Well, how could the governor do that? Because the Constitution of Tennessee gives the governor the authority to do that. So I'm standing here with authority. Why? Because of who's behind me. You see, that's where we get our authority today as a believer. We get our authority because standing behind us is Jesus and the throne of God. So he says, I'm giving you authority. He gave it to the believers. He gives that authority to us. Now, how do we use that authority? Well, let me just read you something over in Genesis. Back when he did the creation over here, he gave a certain authority to mankind. In Genesis 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of the earth. Get that line, all of the earth. Adam had authority over all of the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. And so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now, that's what God intended for us. That's what he intended for mankind. But we know the story. If you read on there just a chapter or so later, we find that Adam and Eve decided to disobey God. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, something happened. You see, another character comes on the scene. This other character that comes on the scene, the Bible describes as the serpent. And the serpent comes. And the serpent comes to Eve. And the serpent begins to talk to Eve and begins to tell Eve, you know, God really didn't mean what he said. Did God really say that you were going to die if you ate of that? You see, God told them they could have anything that they wanted in that garden except the one tree. And so Satan comes. And that old serpent comes in and he begins to work. And he said, did God really say that? You know, one thing you learn about Satan, he has never changed. He uses the same tactics today that he used with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And you know why he never changed? He's never had to. We still fall for it. They fell for it, and we find ourselves falling for it as well. So Satan is the serpent. He's described as that in the scripture there. And Jesus told them they could go out and do what? Tread on serpents. Tread on scorpions. You see, the dominion that was given to Adam now is slowly coming back to man. You see, that's what this whole thing is that we have on this earth. God created this earth and he created it perfect. Man messed it up. God has been working ever since then to bring it all the way back around to the millennial and back around to the new heaven and the new earth when it will be perfect once again. And so now Adam lost this dominion. He lost this authority. But now Jesus delegates this authority now again, the same way that God gave that authority to Adam there in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. And so Jesus now delegates that authority to us. He gives us that. And old Satan, is he okay with this? No, not at all. He doesn't like it at all. And the more and closer we get to assuming this authority and the more we should, the harder he begins to work. Now, how did we get the authority back? Did Satan wake up one day and say, you know, I feel sorry for man. I sure messed him up back there in the Garden of Eden. I feel so sorry for him, and I feel sorry for all these thorns and these deserts and all this stuff. You know, I'm going to let man have that authority back over me again. Is that Satan? No. He didn't do that at all. But what we find in Genesis 3:15, God comes and says to the serpent, you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. Now, we know the difference in that. You can have a bruised heel. That's not going to be fatal. It may hurt, and you may not can walk, but it's not going to be fatal. But you bruise your head hard enough, what's going to happen? It's going to be fatal. And what God was saying back there in Genesis 3:15 is, Satan, you can bruise his heel. You can send him to Calvary. But the moment that first drop of blood is shed, he has bruised your head. We're getting back the authority, is what Jesus has done. And where did we get that authority back? At the cross. At the cross. That day that Jesus died on the cross was the day that Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled, and that was the day that the serpent's head was crushed, and Satan no longer has any power whatsoever in the life of a believer. He doesn't have any power in your life this morning. Now, we're talking about believers. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, that means if you have never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you don't have that authority. But if you are a believer this morning, you have that authority. Now, Paul was speaking similar to this over in Colossians chapter 2. Listen to these words that he wrote to them. He says, in whom also that you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We were buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you then of all of your trespasses. You see, we get this authority now because we have been forgiven. What did he say? All trespasses, all sin, all in the past, all in the present, even your future sins have been forgiven if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. He nailed the law to the cross. The law that they were required to keep in order to be saved was nailed to the cross. We now are under the grace of God. We're not under the law of God. And in verse 15, he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. What Paul is talking about here is when the Romans would go out and they would be victorious, they came in with a great parade. All of the big generals and all of the captains and all would ride up front on their horses, and they would bring the wagons in with all the gold and silver and everything they'd captured, and then all of the soldiers would march in all of their glory, and then here at the tail end of that comes the people they had captured with their hands tied behind them, dragging some of them along, making a spectacle out of them, showing that they had triumphed over them. That's what he's saying here. That's what Jesus did with Satan. It's like a triumphant entry. Satan now is the guy that's at the back, and he makes a public showing out of it, and that he is victorious over Satan. He's victorious over him. Satan is our enemy. Now he's been defeated. How? Through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed there on Calvary. That's what Jesus did on the cross. He gave us the authority over Satan. Now, where is Christ now? We all know he's where? Sitting at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? But you know, if you read over in Ephesians chapter 2, where are we? It says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. That's how close we are with Jesus once we become a believer. We're seated with him, it said, in the heavenly place. So where are we? We are seated beside the Father in the heavenly places with Jesus. Not literally, not physically, we are right here. But one day we're going to be fully, and one day we're going to have all the authority that Adam had there in the Garden of Eden. We're going to have dominion over all of the earth. And that'll be during the millennial time, the 1,000-year reign down here, when we come back with Jesus and when we're set up then in the authority over all of this earth. Now, how do we use that authority? Well, we don't have complete authority today. We don't have that at all. We don't have authority over all things, but we do have authority over Satan. We have authority over the evil demons that are working on us and trying to destroy our life and destroy our relationship with God. So ours is a wait till Jesus comes authority before we get all of that authority there. You see, we don't have any authority over nature. We're not going to get out here. If you take a hornet's nest and hit it with a stick, you're going to get stung. I mean, you know, that's not only an authority that you have over hornets. You do not have the authority out here. When you go out for a picnic and it starts to rain, you say, just a moment, I'll stop this. And you stop the rain. When the wind begins to blow, you stand up and say, peace, be still. You don't have that authority. None of us have that authority. But we do have the authority, what? Over the enemy. And one day we'll have all of that authority. Let me read you a verse here out of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. He says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We don't see all of it yet. It is a clause in there that down the line there, we're going to see that. You see, we don't have this authority over nature. We don't have dominion out here that Adam had over the things of this earth. But we do have authority over Satan. We don't have the authority to go out here and to go into a hospital room and say, you've got cancer, let that cancer wither away. Now, some of these guys on TV, you'd think they did, but we don't have that authority there. We can't do that. We can't go over here and empty out the hospital. We can't make the sun shine every day because we don't want it to rain, but we have the authority over Satan. You see, we'll have all of that authority when the Garden of Eden is created again, when we're in that. Now, this is not the Garden of Eden. I know West Nashville is about as close as you can get, isn't it? But it's not the Garden of Eden. And one day we're going to have that when all of it is restored, and we're going to have all of that dominion then over all of the things of the earth here. You see, our authority is over spiritual things right now. Spiritual things. The things that are really working in our life. The things that are really working in our heart. Not over storms, not over disease, but over Satan and his demons who are trying to get to us, tear us down, destroy us. Remember, when your sins are reminded to you, The things that you've asked God forgiveness for, the Bible says God forgets those things. However, Satan doesn't forget them. And if they're ever brought back up in your life, that's Satan. Why does he do that? So you'll be better and not do them? No, he wants to beat you over the head with them. He wants to beat you down with them. He never forgets those things. And if the devil has learned that he cannot keep us from exercising this authority, he will try to pervert that authority. He'll try to make you think, well, since you can't cast out an illness out of your life, therefore, you must not have the authority. You see, we've got a lot of these TV preachers preaching a whole lot of stuff out there. And they preach a lot of stuff that really is not biblical. They are distorting. You hear them sometime, and it's as though if you'll send in your seed gift of $1,287.16, that's what God told them to tell you to send them. If you'll send that in, then you're going to get the key to Fort Knox. We'll mail you back the key. You just go get anything you want. You'll have all power. You'll have all authority there. You see, I've heard it described, that's the gospel of cash, Cadillacs, and comfort. That's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ can be preached right here in Bellevue. It can be preached in the middle of the furthest country from here, in the middle of the wilderness over there, to somebody who lives in a mud hut. And what do you tell them? You tell them the very same gospel. And if you can't go over there and preach to that man living in that mud hut about all the cash he's going to get and the Cadillac he's going to drive and the comfort he's going to have, then you can't preach it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the same everywhere to every person. And the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning is that we have authority over Satan. We have authority over him. Today, we have authority over him. It's going to come a day when we're going to find that we have authority over all of the earth, just like Adam did. Boy, it's going to be great, isn't it? We get that glorified body. We get all this authority that God meant for us to have in the beginning before Adam messed it up. Then we're going to have it all again. But right now, Satan doesn't want you to know it, but you have authority over him. And next time Satan comes to you and he begins to talk to you and he begins to get on your case, you just tell him, listen, devil, I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to listen to you. I don't have to obey you. You have no authority in my life, and I have the authority to cast you out of my life. Get thee behind me, Satan, and rebuke him. You know, if we would just learn that, we sin because we want to sin. We don't sin because we cannot be a person who does not sin. We can be that. We have authority over sin. We have authority over Satan. What a wonderful time to begin to exercise that as we begin a new year at a great time with the number 13, the unlucky 13. But he told those people, he said, listen, I'm giving you the power to go out here, and you got power over demons, you got power over the serpent, and that same power is given to us. One day we'll have Adam's dominion, but right now we've got authority over Satan in our life. Don't let him win. Don't let him work in your life. Jesus is there to back you up. That's why you have to be a believer. Because if you're not a believer, you don't have Jesus in the throne of God to back you up. You just try to do it on your own, and Satan will whip you good every time you try to do it on your own. But by the authority that's given to us as believers through Jesus Christ, we have authority to go out and to tread on that old serpent when he comes up in our life. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had to study your word. We thank you, Father, for the fact that you have given us that authority. And we thank you for that, Lord. What a wonderful victory it is when we win the victory over Satan, when he's trying to destroy our life, when he's trying to destroy our testimony, when he's trying to get us down and get us where we not won't serve you. And Father, that we can step forward and say, listen, Satan, I know that I have authority over you. We thank you for that authority. We thank you that you trusted us enough with that. And we thank you that you are there to back it up. Father, we just pray if there's some in our service today who don't have that authority simply because they've never accepted you, we pray that this might be the hour that they make that decision for you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.